Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to the Paula Price Show, everybody, and welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Paula Price.
I got the mute off. Did you see that? I got it.
You know what? And I had it off on my end, and then it slipped right back into another mode. So we both had to hit it a couple of times.
I'll tell you the truth. But anyway, it's good to be here. I'm excited about what God is doing and how he's doing what he's doing. Today is going to be a great, great show. We've had a great time. I've got a lot to share. And I'm sure, Ashley, we've got some great callers. But tell me, Ashley, what is going on in our world? Because, you know, I have my list, but then you have a list, and then you always surprise me.
Oh, my. You always surprise me, Dr. Price. You know, we end up saying the same things about each other. You're chasing me. I swear I'm chasing you. You're fishing. So, my goodness, I think everything about our world right now is before the garden, before the garden, the book, before the garden promotions, before the garden sales, before the garden, the Lord, eternity, the kingdom. It's all we can talk about is before the garden. I can tell, and I know you know, you told us just how excited heaven is about this book. And I tell you what, when heaven is excited about what you've done, nothing can stand in its way.
You know, that is very true and very profound. Look at you trying to be a deep, profound prophet. Come on here.
I just had a strong cup of coffee.
I know you did. Well, I'll tell you what, that is the truth. Before the garden has been, and it promises to be the most consuming thing that takes over this last stretch of my ministry. A lot of people don't know that I've been in ministry over 30 years. January will kick off my 33rd year in God's service. And my goodness, it's been a journey. It's been, really, it's been a work. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what God is doing, but I'm telling you, I feel like even though I'm at this level, if you know, I like to think of it, if you think of ministry in terms of decades, then 30 would be my third trimester, you know, because usually, you know, we live. And so I'm excited about this third trimester of my ministry, my service with Christ, what God is doing, but I'm touched that he trusted me with before the garden. For those of you who may not have heard us a couple of weeks ago, with you, when the show is over, go back and listen to the show where we had people who had reviewed the book just get on and talk about what it did for them, how they felt about it, the answers that they got, and all of those kinds of things. Go back and look at it because it's powerful stuff, and this book is powerful. I haven't had anybody who even looked at the introduction, the prologue, or preface, or the conclusion come back and say anything but, wow, this is going to be interesting. It does change how you think Jesus is, what you think about him, but I always say the book will supercharge your Christianity because that's what I think will happen. It will supercharge your faith in God, your identity with Christ, your ability to defend the gospel, speak the gospel, share your faith. I mean, it is a potent tool for revival, and that's what I'm calling it. It is a potent tool for revival. And so I definitely agree with you, Ashley, that before the garden is it's the thing. It's where God is going. Because people rarely think about Jesus Christ before those 3.5 years that he spent after he manifested to Israel. And yet Scripture is full of his pre-incarnate life and his pre-incarnate experiences. And that's the taste of before the garden. So other than that, I don't know what else we're doing. Actually, we are doing other things. You know, first of all, the 4th is tomorrow. I'm very glad it wasn't today so I could do the show. But the 4th is tomorrow, and I'm stunned that we're in July. I don't know about you, Ashley, but I'm stunned we're in July, you know?
Yeah, I'm stunned, and I'm also stunned because it's only 80 degrees outside, which is probably why we can't believe what month we're in, because in Tulsa, it's always about 105 degrees by the time we get to this month. It's I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. It just messes me up with where we are in the year.
Well, I tell you the truth, I'm kind of excited about it being this temperature. You know, I've been praying about the drought, and we even had the nerve to get some rain, some speckles, not a lot, a little bit of rain. So it's really great that we are in cool weather and we're not dying in our vehicles as we, you know, even dying just to go to the mailbox. So what I want to do, Ashley, is because God gave me a particular exhortation today, I want I'm excited about it. God is doing some good stuff. I want to hear from Adia because I know she's going to talk about all of the great stuff she has going on. We also have something exciting that we're doing the end of this month, Ashley, that when Adia is done, you're going to get a chance to say it because I think it's thrilling, and I think it's going to be a little bit of a treat for our Paula Price Show listeners. So let's go to Prophet Adia. When we come back, you will talk about what we're doing, actually it's more like the middle of this month, perhaps, and then I'm going to get into what God wants to say about his son, Jesus Christ, today.
Prophet Adia?
Hi, guys. This is Prophet Adia, going to let you guys know what is going on and how you can stay connected with Dr. Price. After the program, want to make sure that you guys go to Facebook.com, www.facebook.com/Dr. Paul Price, so that you can stay connected with all that Dr. Price has going on. She has been doing a morning blog every morning, and we want you to get plugged in. So Facebook.com/Dr. Paul Price, if you're not already following her there, be sure to do that. You can also catch up and connect with Dr. Price on Twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price, and you can make sure that you follow her on Twitter as well and let us know what you think about the show, what you think about her new book that's coming out, Before the Garden, and also just give us your feedback. We want to hear from you. So Twitter.com, Facebook.com, and of course, DrPaulaPrice.com. When you visit DrPaulaPrice.com today, you can actually pre-order your copy of Before the Garden. If you've been listening to the past couple of shows, Dr. Price has been talking about this new book that she has coming out, Before the Garden. You can connect with that, DrPaulaPrice.com, right there on the homepage. You can actually pre-order your copy right now. For those that are pre-ordering, we will be sending out a special bonus CD with excerpts of the book while you wait for its scheduled release. We're looking to release this book in the next couple of months. We're so excited about what God is doing with it. You can go online, DrPaulaPrice.com, and pre-order your copy right now. You can also text us at 918-602-2123, 918-602-2123. You can text us and let us know that you want to pre-order your copy, and we'll go ahead and send a link right to your phone so that you know how you can get connected with the book. Otherwise, again, jump online, DrPaulaPrice.com, and go right to that homepage, press that pre-order link, and you can pre-order your book and to make sure that you're the first on the list when that book is released. We want to thank you so much. We want to connect with some of the comments. We had a listener come on last week. I just want to do a quick listener highlight and thank you because we are looking for your comments. Dr. Price had asked her audience last week to let us know how are you connecting with the program and what's your feedback about the show. We want to read just a little excerpt from a listener last week. She says, "Hi, Dr. Price and team. I listened to the show today. It was really good. I resonated, Dr. Price, with your comments about the Bible being a message which causes such atmospheric effects that people would want to negate its validity. Thank you for consistently encouraging us to get to know the Word of God and continuing to present sound biblical information that challenges the traditional teachings of today." We want to thank you so much, listener Tracy out there. Thank you for your comments, and thank you for listening. We want to hear from you out there. So if you're listening on the program and Dr. Price has been saying some things that have resonated with you, let us know. We want to read your feedback, and we want to know how God is moving in your life through the show. Last but certainly not least, we want you to pass on the message of the Paula Price Show. When you're getting our emails, we want you to make sure you press that forward button and let a friend know about the program. Let them know they can call in for prayer. Let them know that you've discovered the biggest kept secret yet and that there's a power broadcast on every Thursday. We want you to spread the news about the Paula Price Show. Hit that forward button. tell a friend or two. Make sure they join you online with us. Those of you who will listen later, forward the address, www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. That's our address. We're here every Thursday at 11 o'clock a.m. to pray for you, to empower you, and we want you to spread the word. So make sure you do that. Take some time over the holiday weekend to catch up on all the shows that you might have missed. You can listen to any program, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, any form of program that we've done. Or you can also, if you've been on before, you might have noticed that we have some special messages that are there that are archived just for you. Free audio messages, great teachings from Dr. Price that you can listen to, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. So spread the news. We want you to have a happy and safe July 4th holiday. So happy July 4th from the Paula Price Ministries family and the Paula Price Show. God bless you. We'll see you online.
Well, that was excellent. And, of course, we are always on the move with Dr. Price. Back to you, Dr. Price.
Well, I am excited, but Ashley, come on now. This is, we're going to tick in your memory. Come on. I'm going through your files. What are we going to be doing the middle or toward the end of July?
Well, the middle end of July, we will be in Florida, sunny, beautiful Florida. Is this what we're talking about, Dr. Price? Please say yes.
Yes.
Praise God. Okay, great. Then I'll go forth with excitement and confidence. We are going to be at Apostle Trevor Banks' church in Fort Pierce, Florida, Resurrection Life Family Worship Center on July 23rd. Dr. Price is going to do two amazing things on July 23rd in Florida. One, she is hosting the Paula Price Show with a live congregational studio audience. They actually built into the conference Dr. Price's show. And then in the evening, she will be bringing forth a teaching. So July 23rd at Fort Pierce at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center is all about Dr. Price that day and the amazing wisdom that she has worked for to get from God and what she will be sharing. So that will be a very fun show. I'm already mentally working out logistics of how to have more than one guest on the show live and not just over the phone. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in Florida, because I tell you what, when Dr. Price is in event mode, that's a whole other kind of fire.
And you know, Ashley, that's what happened because when we take a moment of our annual event, you know, the forum, the summit, and we have a little bit of the event live with our callers, you told me that those end up being the most revisited shows. I guess I could say show, even though it's just a clip, but you say that they end up being the most revisited show. Is that true?
Oh, yes. People, first of all, they always want to get a sneak peek of what you're doing at your event, especially those who couldn't make it for whatever reason. They want to get a sneak peek of that revelation, what's coming forth, because it's different from what you share on the show. It's so powerful. It's so potent. Now, what you do on the show is very powerful and potent, too. But you are in your mantle to the fullest extent when you are at your events. And then to combine it with you actually traveling and being on the road, people are pulling on that wisdom live in the room. I can't wait. I just can't wait.
Well, I know it's going to be exciting. Plus, we have people. He has guests on this conference from different parts of the world, and Apostle Trevor himself is amazing. So we're going to have a blast. We're going to keep talking to you about it because we definitely want to make sure that you don't miss this. But if you're in the Fort Pierce, Florida area, don't miss me being there. I will be there. You said my it's the 24th that I am. Now, let me get to Ashley. They wonder why.
23rd.
See, I let Ashley do this because Ashley gets the dates 100% correct. And so I'm going to rely on her brain to do that as I go on and tell you all the wonderful things that will happen when I'm on the ground in Fort Pierce. If you're in that area at all, or if you can get to that area, you want to show up. I'm doing the Paula Price Show in the morning. That evening, I'm speaking. We're also going to launch some versions, excerpts of the Before the Garden, and get an opportunity to talk with some of his guests on what the Lord is doing around the world. So we're going to have a great time. And guess what? You do get a chance to call in. You can call in. You can ask a question of a guest if you choose. You can ask me a question. But we're going to mix that with our live audience. So this is good. This is a dream happening for me. Many of you all don't know it. I've always wanted to do the show on location in different places because you get the flavor of the entire body of Christ when you do. You get a chance to hear how God is dealing in different regions and what he's accomplishing in other areas of the kingdom and with other kingdom groups. So, again, we'll talk about it again. I think we're still, a couple of weeks out, Ashley, so we're a couple of weeks out. We'll keep talking about it. But if you're in the Florida area, make it your business to contact them. Ashley has the number. She'll give you the phone number. Make it your business to contact them and say, you know, I want to come there when Dr. Paula Price is going to be there. Let them know if you're interested in being a part of the live audience. They're going to appreciate that. So we can accommodate you. We don't want you to miss out on anything that's going to take place there. Hallelujah. Anything else, Ashley, before I go on?
No, you are good to go.
All right. Make sure you give that telephone number, though, so they know where to call. And if it's on the website, definitely we want to direct them to drpaulaprice.com to get more information. Having said that, and being still quite in the mode of my brandy new book, I want to talk about Jesus. Ha, strange thing. But I want to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what I want to discuss is who he really is. You know, today the big push is about God is love and Jesus is love and God's a gentleman and he's easy and he's laid back and he's meek and he's mellow and he's passive. I think you're getting a theme here. Now, I would like to ask you a very prudent question. And while you're answering that question, if you are anywhere near your Bible, open it to Luke 19. But my question to you is, how can a man who is passive, a pacifist, laid back, meek, mellow, non-controversial, non-confrontational, create worlds, rule worlds, have enemies, restrain his enemies, keep on top, and handle and cover his flock, his sheep, his body at the same time? There is, logically, there is something amiss in our perception of Jesus Christ. There is something amiss in how we think he is. For example, if you're listening to all of those sermons about, well, God won't force his will on you, and Jesus is love, and our Lord is the meek and lowly Savior, all of those kinds of things, if you're feasting on that, if for no other reason than that, your faith in Christ is very wobbly. You do not have a confidence in a man who can't face off with his enemies, let alone yours. So that is a problem. And so as we go on, you know, and we keep hearing about how this man's love is so overwhelming that he's a doormat. He's creation's floor mat. You can just walk over him. You can walk over his people, walk over his folks, walk over his sheep. It doesn't matter. He's only going to roll over and thank you for it. I think we need to go back to the Word of God, because the picture we are painting for people of their Savior, whom they are supposed to believe will get them through this life, defend them from their adversaries, restore any calamities or any lack and loss they have, that picture is completely at odds with who God is. And most of us do not believe that God is worth the fight because we don't believe he can fight. Many saints do not know that in Scripture it says God is a man of war. When you read Before the Garden and you understand the 14 events that are covered there, what I'm about to say is going to be very interesting. The Jesus that you will meet at the end of your life is not the Jesus you have visited and entertained in this world from, according to what's being said from the pulpit. You are going to be stunned at the power of this man. You're going to be stunned at his strength, his might, his resoluteness, his resolve, his very presence. because you cannot, you don't expect anybody who's ruling a company to be weak, etc. Because you realize that if they are really ruling the company and they are that, then they are a figurehead and someone else is really calling the shots and defending the organization. You don't expect that. And yet you expect a savior whose testimony is that I am creator, I am Alpha and Omega, I'm beginning and the end, I'm the first and the last, I'm the root and stem of Jesse, I'm the day star, I'm all of that. You expect this man who's giving you a resume like that to be a cream puff. Where is that coming from? He is not a soft man. I'm telling you right now, we're going to be surprised at the person sitting on the throne when we get there. Because we have bought into the propaganda machine that's always in damage control mode because of his success on Calvary and his triumph in the resurrection. So we have bought into the propaganda of the damage control and not the revelation of the true and risen Jesus Christ. That's going to stun us, folks, I'm telling you. Now, I told you, as I led to my introduction, we're going to talk from Luke 19. Luke 19 is probably maybe my third most favorite scripture in all of the Bible. Now, Luke 19 is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is speaking about himself and revealing his character, his agenda, his motives in veiled terms. Parables means veiled terms, soft terms used to hide hard, concrete ones. So he's speaking of these in veiled terms. And so 19:11 says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. And you can put in parentheses in your notes if you're one of those who make notes in your Bible and also put or would appear immediately or literally because that's what Jesus is addressing. So he gives this parable. And he says, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And he called to his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. Now, verse 14 is a powerful statement. I want you to focus in on that. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So this nobleman has been called to whatever home base is. Now, there is a historical event that this is tied to, and so it appears that Jesus was taking advantage of a natural practice between sovereigns and kings and monarchs and rulers that he was using that to say to them, this is what I'm about to do. So he's going to get a kingdom. During that time, emperors would call promoting rising sovereigns or rising monarchs or noblemen, rather, to their palace, endow them, install them as kings, and send them back over territory. That's the essence of what he's talking about here. Okay, that's how that works out. So Jesus is saying, as they do it, so is my Father doing it. I'm getting ready to go and do what it takes to receive my kingdom, and then I'll be back. Now, while I'm gone, I don't want to lose ground on what we've been doing, me and these 10 servants. So what I'm doing is I'm going to leave 10 supposedly trustworthy, industrious, and aggressive servants in place. Now, the New King James translates the word presbyteia to message, but that word actually speaks to an embassy, an ambassadors. So he left behind 10 ambassadors. Okay, and their job was to establish his embassy so that when he came back, he wouldn't lose ground, and the people who hated him would not have seized control of his kingdom, his territory, giving him nothing to rule over when he returned as king. Now, that's the backstory of that, and sometimes when you know the backstory of Scripture, you can go forward with what God is doing now. So the people obviously knew this nobleman's destiny because they had sense enough to hate him and determine we're not going to have him reign over us. Now, what isn't there is that there's an uprising. while he's gone, we're going to take advantage of his absence, and we are going to rise up and take over this land and make sure that when he comes back, he is not going to be our king. There's a whole lot in that. If we were sitting around the table right now having a discussion, I'm telling you, we could probably tear that up. So that's what the thing was. So he commanded the servants, he gave them the money, and then he came and asked what they had gained by trading. Now, they used the word trading, but we forget the business was not just marketplace because they were an embassy. Embassies are like small satellite versions of their sovereign's location in a distant place. So this was more than just buying and selling. This is more than just marketplace. We already saw that they were going to rise up and try to take his territory from him. So this trading is a very soft term, a very soft way for you to assume that unless you are a corporate business person, at which point you know the behind the scenes that happens with trading. So, you know, we have the passive church view. He just had a little concession stand, and they just sold lemonade and made a little money and whatever. But the rewards tell you that there's a lot more at stake there and behind the scenes because he's not giving them just their ownership. He's giving them territory. So that means they had to win the territory, retain the territory, fend off his adversaries, and have some solid geographical strongholds for him to come back to when he was enthroned as king. So we got to think that because we don't look at this like that. We kind of confuse this with the parable of the talents. These are two different things entirely. So he goes back and he goes through. We all know the middle part of the story, but it's the end of this thing that I think we need to look at as the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this man is not who you think he is. This lowly Savior, Paul said, we may have seen him crucified in humility or dishonor, but he was raised in honor. We saw him cast out as a criminal, but he raises up with the crown and the scepter. We watched this man humiliated by creation so that he could go to hell and defeat the problems that he had so that he could reign forever. So we kind of don't have the story because we are a democratic mindset. We are a democratic society. We're not really clear on what it means to be king, to be a monarch, to rule over land, and the heart of a king. You know, the heart of a king is a very different heart. We like to walk around and say we're kings and priests, and all we want to do is walk around and boast in pride and make a few dollars and buy some nice land, some properties, or make ourselves wealthy, the end. That's not a king. That's not a king, okay? That's a gatherer, that's an acquirer, but that's not a king. And so Jesus is king. And, you know, for all of the kingdom teaching we do, we don't really teach it from the heart of a king. We teach it from the heart of a wannabe. And wannabes only have a surface picture because that person living it, they have a whole other life experience. So Jesus goes and he does all of that. And so the first time you get to see his strength is in the 24th verse where the guy said, you know what, I didn't do anything with your money. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I had issues with you. First, I got real issues with you. First of all, I don't think you earned anything you have. I think that you took from people that you shouldn't have took. You are the strong taken from the weak. You're the rich taken from the poor. And so I had real issues with that. So I resolved in my heart that I'm going to give you back what you gave you. I'm not going to be a part of your increase. I'm not going to be a part of your harvest. I'm not going to be a part of your breakthrough. And I certainly don't want to be a part of your celebration or coronation. I'm not going to be a part of that because I don't think you earned it. I think that you know, your daddy's boy, you made it on your father's merit. You didn't earn a thing. You got it easy, etc. All of that because they looking at the surface. He just looked at what the noble man received. Never paid attention to what the noble man sold, surrendered, gave, lived, suffered, or experienced. True leaders always know what their own leader has gone through. So if you are the leader in your ministry and you think that your leader didn't deserve to be there, you're not going to give your best. You just aren't going to do it. You're going to make it your business to be judge, jury, and penitentiary for that person. So This is this person here, verse 20. I feared you because you're an austere man. You're a hard man. You know, you're strict. You know, people always get upset with you. You're strict. You know, you're rigid. We don't like how you did it. And so you took what you didn't lay down. In other words, you're bringing in, harvesting on what you didn't sow. And then I'm not going to give you anything. So here's what I did. I just buried your pound. I gave it to you. I just kept it laid up in a napkin. The first guy buried it in the ground. This person just wrapped it up and put it away. So I saved what you gave me, but I'm determined you're not going to harvest off of it. I'm committed to that. So, now here's Jesus, because he's given a parable for a reason. So think about it. And so he says to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a hard man. You knew I took up what I did not lay down and reaped what I did not sow. The very least. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own usury? Now, if you're a weak person, a very passive soul, that sounds really cruel. But if you are a business person, you know the harvest or nothing is nothing. And a nothing-producing servant is a detriment, okay, not a compliment to your organization. So he said, if you really believed in me, see, this is bigger than you not liking how I deal. This is you literally saying, I should receive nothing when I return because you disliked how I handled my organization before I left. So you have set yourself up as the one who is that, listen, they're all following you, they're all gullible, they're all this, they're all that, but I'm not, I really see. See, my eyes are not blinded. And he said, you did not even care enough to let somebody else earn me some interest. You were committed to not giving me any harvest, and you prevented someone else from giving me a harvest. So that's a serious, serious conflict. And so he says, then he said unto them who stood by, take the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said, Lord, but he already has 10 pounds. Why are we giving him more money? And Jesus gives us the principle of the kingdom because God is the Lord of the harvest. Everything about God is harvest, increase, multiply, okay? Multiply, replenish the earth. We start out, God is always about a harvest. He's always about an increase. He cursed barrenness. And a lot of us, no matter how much we explain it, my wife, my husband, the dog, the kids, the job, the birth, it means nothing but the final analysis because God is the God of the harvest. And he always looks for an increase on what he gets. I don't care if it's your suffering or if it's your salvation or if it's your success. God is always looking for a harvest, and that we don't know about him. So he says, give it to the person who has 10 pounds. So now he's going to have 11. Well, if you're talking about a pound equaling five cities, that money gave this person more territorial power and strength, a greater jurisdiction, more land to rule over in the name of the king. Now, but 26 is important. Oh, my goodness, this is so good. Because he said, for I say to you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now, that's frustrating. You know, we kind of like, God, what are you saying? What God is saying is that if you got a little, you can get a lot. If you got nothing, you get nothing. And so he's saying, if you don't do anything with your little, you have no hope for an increase. If all you're doing is storing away your talents, waiting for a better day, waiting for a better season, waiting for a better boss, a better job, a better address, a better this and a better that, it's never going to happen. And eventually, your waiting and fritting away your time is going to erode that little bit of seed you had. God said, at least put the seed in the ground. At least sow it somewhere. You know, if you're not going to build on it, you're not going to multiply, increase it, sow it somewhere. But don't sit around with your opinions and your judgments and your criticisms because you think that because you can criticize, because you can see the negative side of something so clearly, it doesn't deserve righteousness. That you're not going to have anything from that. You know, I've met Christians like that. The body of Christ is full of critics. They're, you know, they have whole websites on criticizing. That's what they do, and that's fine. We don't really care about that. If that's what you think your talent is for, have at it. But understand, Jesus says that little bit of talent, which is a destroyer's talent, that thing will dissipate. It will erode because those are destroyer talents. It's one thing to say I'm evaluating. It's another thing to make it your life to criticize and undo and deteriorate or hinder what God is doing. This is a model of hindering criticism. I saw it. I didn't like how you did it. I rendered my judgment on it. I got your property. I got your money. I'm not going to do a thing with it, and you'll know how I feel when you get back, because when you get back, I'm only going to give you back what you gave me. I'm not going to allow you to get a harvest off me at all. I'm not one drop am I going to let you get. And that is what this is talking about. So if Jesus didn't get a harvest, he didn't get territory. That means that this person allowed the land that he gained to go to the people who hated him. Big story. This is a great parable. It's got a lot going on here. But here is our king. This is our king. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is the guy who said, you know, bless are the meek, and, you know, for they are going to inherit the health of the peacemaker, all of that. This is that guy. So we don't get confused. And he says in verse 27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That is a powerful statement. He said, those that didn't want me to reign, those who didn't like me, the citizens that hated me, okay, I've tolerated them. Now, why would he say that? I mean, come on, Jesus, you're God. You're a God of love. You know, you are the great shepherd. You're the God of grace. You're a forgiving God. You're a meek God. You're a merciful God. What is he saying? He's saying, I am not going back to my head to say I lost ground. I'm not going back to say I'm lost territory, and I'm not going to let run free those who work to destroy me. The issue with the church today is that we do not think God will act for his own best interest. We think that our best interest is more important to God than his. And it's like the people getting laid off or whatever, however sad that is, I think it's a horrible thing. But it's like people who get laid off, as far as I'm concerned, and destroy the whole company. If I can't have a job, nobody can. You know? And so, but God is looking toward the future. Now, Jesus said, while I'm sitting on my throne as the God of love, as the meek and lowly at heart, as the God of grace, as the God of forgiveness and mercy, I want you to kill my enemies in front of me. That's a bloody coronation. That is not a pretty picture. Now, we like to say, well, we don't believe he did that. That's fine. You know, I mean, it doesn't make a difference. The guy who buried the man's stuff didn't believe it either, and he did not know it was going to cost him everything, including a poor reputation in front of his peers until it got to the end. So I want to say to you today, do you know your Savior? Do you know this man? And are you aware of his duties and responsibilities as a king? Because Jesus is not going to lose his kingdom or his throne for our rhetoric. It just isn't that deep to him. And so the question also becomes, are you ready to deal with someone who can say this, who can really mean this? Like, Jesus, I've been, you know, as I interact with the Lord, first of all, I've never seen a more calm, more pleasant, and delightful person in my whole life. And yet, he's serious. Jesus is serious about keeping what is entrusted to him, about not cheating his father, about not robbing or denying his father for whatever it is that he worked for. He is just that kind of a God. He's that kind of a man. And we who are here on the planet need to get used to the fact that Jesus is a king. He has the heart of a king. He's the first king. He's the first sovereign. He's the first to rule. He was king when there was nothing and brought everything into existence so he can reign over it. And so I would like to encourage you today who are listening to me, if it makes sense to you, bless you. I would like to say we might need to rethink this man, because Jesus had a life beforehand that gave him the wisdom he needs to understand what's taking place on earth. He is not deceived. He is not beguiled by sentiment. Tears don't move him. A lot of folk gonna cry in front of his throne. It's not going to matter, because it's not the tears that got them there. It was their belief system and their values. So I just thought, Ashley, I would share that today, because God said, do they know me? His question today to you is, how well do you know me, and how clear are you on my responsibilities? because I've got responsibilities. I've got duties to people who have died doing it right before you and the people who are coming down the line who need to know there's a righteousness for them to choose. And so I cannot allow you all to think that all of this stuff that you do in this earth in your little 3 score and 10 years really alters anything in my world that has eons before it. So that was what I wanted to say. Okay, Ashley, it's on you. I'm giving you time. And you're getting time today, girl, so you should be quiet.
I'm trying to collect my thoughts here. That is, you know, as always, you bring us that whole other perspective, I think, to show there is a knowing with the Lord Jesus Christ, of knowing him personally, that the average Christian doesn't even know exists. You know, when you bring forth revelation like this, I think we can all say who are listening to this show right now. Now, how many times have we actually read that, which is many, and then how many of us actually pulled that out of that? Maybe not as many. And it comes from, I know, your studies and your research, but also that up-close and personal relationship that you fight for and continue to maintain with the Lord. So first, I just want to thank you even for your sacrifice in that, in bringing forth this kind of insight into it. These are the things that wake us up, I think, and snap us out of our happy time, Jesus Christ relationship. He's my personal Savior, and that's all he is. Like our parents, the only thing our parents did was have us and raise us. You see them in their job, you see them outside of the home, and it's like they're different people. Now, they've always been, they were those people, in fact, before we were born, but we've only seen them from that one side or have only been told that. So going through this again, listening to you today, first, one of the first things you said about how we bought into the propaganda of the Jesus damage control when you were talking about that, and how we're always raised and reared up in our salvation to think that it's our job to do damage control because of Jesus. And so we have to soften him up, put some sugar in the gospel, some artificial sweetener. I mean, we've diluted this thing so much that even we don't recognize it. So now we're the generation that was born into the watered-down version of Christianity. And you're bringing back that unadulterated, guys, this is this man. I know they told you he was somebody else. Sorry, he wasn't. And it's not actually a downer. It's like, wow, he is much more than we ever imagined or have been taught. And thinking about when the noblemen left, how they were planning that uprising against him because they hated him. And when you think right now about how at odds the church is with Jesus Christ, I mean, he's a sword in his own church. We always want to have all these things and apply it to the world. Yeah, the world. Until you bring the raw dog gospel inside, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Now hold on. So that was amazing. Going through, I'm sitting here now examining my own heart about the secret things that you harbor, the things that you nurse, whatever excuse you give when you said, hold on, where is the line? True leaders always know what their leaders have been through. Now, you addressed something like this when you were teaching on Joshua and Moses and how Joshua fought Moses' battles. He understood what he went through. The reason he was chosen was not just because of his skill, but because he understood and he did not feel he should not have to take on the weight and the stripes of the person he was to succeed. And many of us feel with Christ and with our leaders that we shouldn't have to bear those same stripes and burdens that they do if, in fact, we are called to step into that position or carry a significant amount of that load. Wake-up call. You know, sometimes you have to hear things 3, 4, or 5 times at different places in your life, at least I do, in order for it to begin to crack that hard, wonderful head that you need to not waver off the calling, but sometimes it does prevent you from hearing the wisdom of God in due season. So just hearing that again is like, yeah, true leaders always know. I think the more you sit, like you said, the more you sit there and judge, the more you have your conclusions, the worse it's going to be. And many of us have learned along the way, the more you think you know or the more you feel you were there in a situation, the less you probably do know about what really went down in certain things because you weren't there for everything, the beginning, the middle, or the end. You know, then you jumped on there, the destroyer's talent. I just labeled it that, the destroyer's talent. Do you have a talent to destroy? Nobody wants to wear that label unless you are, okay, unless you are a wrecking ball, and that's just your job to destroy. But, you know, we use wrecking balls to level dilapidated things usually. We need to knock down something that's already pretty much fallen. We just need to help it all the way. But you weren't talking about that. No, no. Is your talent destroying God's work? Is what I wrote. And some people do have an amazing gift of destruction. And it's veiled. It's veiled in knowledge and insight and sometimes prophetics and whatever ribbon and bow we place on it. But you're a destroyer. And however fanciful way you do it, you destroy. It's a talent. And some people, it's true, when you meet them, you sit there and you wonder, were we just sitting in the same meeting? Were we just at the same event or the same sermon where you pull out everything that you feel should be fixed and, well, the pastor this and the apostle and the blah, 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 and his wife, and did you see? And the next thing you know, they pick the whole thing apart. And I think I'm going to keep that, Dr. Price, and use that myself, on myself when necessary, and then with other people. So you're one of those, you know, destroyer's talent. You can have that talent to destroy. So, man, and then, of course, how you rounded it out. Are you ready to deal with someone who can say something like that? We're talking about Jesus, and are we ready to deal with the reality that this is this man to be ruthless to defend his kingdom? We don't want to accept that leaders have to be ruthless because we are in a democracy where we vote you out. If you look too mean as a leader, we're going to vote you out. You hurt my feelings. We don't appreciate that. You need to make me feel good, whatever the case may be. And the leader's like, I have a greater agenda than making you feel good. In fact, that's really not even on my list of things to do because my job is to see to it that you have something to come back to every single day. And we can't accept that Jesus' job is to see to it that when we wake up tomorrow, we're still saved. And when we die, that there's something on the other side of this that is actually him. And that, like you said, the kingdom is still around. So this is just one of those things that you have to meditate and really chew on, I think, and digest, because that mentality just bleeds into so many other areas of your Christianity where you end up butting heads with God because you've never either known or accepted who he really is. And now I
tell you. I'll tell you what, actually, when I thought when God started revealing himself to me, because he said, you know, when I first got saved, I had a very traumatic salvation because I was in all kinds of stuff. And so, I had to fight for my life to be saved. And so when I finally got delivered, I'm standing up, and I'm in the hallway trying to figure out what just happened to me. And the Holy Spirit said, Jesus himself said to me, you're going to know me. He said, because all authority belongs to me. I own all authority. I don't care what you say. I don't care who you are. I own that. And then from that moment on, he began to deal with me differently. But I had a problem because I kept meeting people who had that other Jesus. And I was like, and I'd come home, and he'd ask me different things. And I'd say, but Jesus, you realize nobody else is, hey, Jesus, nobody else is doing this. Why aren't you showing up like that? And so he would constantly say to me, to whom much is given, much is required. And the closer God brings you to himself, because we always want to think, I want to be close to you. Jesus, just put me close. No, no, no. You know, the man is not what you think. He is not a souped-up version of your pulpiteer. He's not a souped-up version of your pastor. He's not a souped-up version of your favorite minister. He's not a souped-up version. He's not that. Jesus is his own person. And the thing that I would love for you to get out of our time today, out of this discussion, is that Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, has duties that start before we became. He has a duty to his heavenly Father. He has a duty to what we call the heavenly, our heavenly Father. He has a duty to all of the saints that have gone before. He has a duty to the world that existed before this one. All of that literally shaped what caused him to set this world system up the way it does. And the Bible is full of that. We act like Jesus' only duty is to us. He's not, we don't, listen, it's not just about his home life with us, daddy at home with the kids. There is this obligation to assure your children and your children's 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 children down to the end have a church called the Christian church, B, a savior called the real Jesus Christ, and C, a hope for eternal life. You know, so I think that as we enter this system, we enter this particular season, we're going to have to revisit a lot of what we taught about Jesus. We're going to have to revisit. And I like what you said, Ashley. You know, you all were born into the watered down gospel, so this is new. Certainly this is good news to you guys because you're like, I know it just didn't feel right. It just didn't make sense. But you get an opportunity now to go into your word and to read it carefully and to look and find out who this person is. Because if you don't wrap your head around who he is, you are doomed to be utterly ill-prepared to contend with this sovereign of sovereigns, somebody who's lived forever, somebody who doesn't even death is an instrument. It's not his life. It's an instrument. Death does not bother him. We have done that. We cannot wrap our heads around the majesty of this man. And that is why we walk around treating him like he's a lucky charm and a trinket. And we are missing it. He is not a souped-up version of your favorite character. He is not a superhero. He makes heroes super. He is not a superhero. And so we can't confuse this guy with all of the stuff that we've confused him with. So, Ashley, I had a blast. Did you have a blast?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I feel blasted. I had a blast, and I feel blasted.
You feel blasted. Well, I think that we can have a little bit of a break and come back and take some calls. You should have our calls lined up by then. Is that right?
Oh, yes. You are lining up quite nicely, actually.
Amen. Then let's do it.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiatives. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities.
This is Liz Montgomery, commenting on Dr. Paula Price's book, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. When I read these writings, it felt like a college semester of education on the eternal. Being constantly reminded of the physical world around us and the linear nature of time, embedding myself in this writing not only refreshed my perspective, but it educated me on the semantics of how and where my Father, God, exists. It gives new revelation to what we think it just might be like to experience the space within the realm of timelessness that the Father and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit reside. It also reminded me intellectually and with great depth how our God seeks this mysterious yet vast relationship with each one of us. How we build trust with Him through our faith and unwavering knowing of Him as best we can outside the continuum, while still the mirror is clouded. But again, it is folding yourself into this writing that opens your world to realities of another dimension. Dr. Price has so many years of experience working through the intricacies of living out her calling as a prophet of this ongoing, same yesterday, today, and forever God of ours, that reading this description and instruction she's given us is absolutely eye-opening. Thank you, Dr. Price, for writing this book. It is a truly multidimensional door to grasping the complexities of our Creator.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, five-fold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments: the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
And we are back live with the Paula Price Show, top of the second hour. We're just digesting the word, Dr. Price.
Are we getting our Facebookers to chime in on this?
You know what? That's so funny you mentioned that because let's see here. Linda posted, my phone is swirling around here. She came to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum and had a blast, by the way. And she said, Before the Garden sounds like it is one of those books that will be a mandatory read for all current church and new members. Today's show, like always, new revelation, exclamation point. Answering the confusion I had but didn't know how to ask. I love as Dr. Price removes the veil on the Word of God and who God really is. Thank you, Dr. Price. So that was Linda Mazzulli there on Facebook. Always staying connected with you, Dr. Price. She doesn't miss a beat or a show.
No, she doesn't. And can I tell you, I appreciate meeting her at the event this year. Wonderful lady. A lot of fun. It was really great. Well, every now and then, you know, I like to hear my Facebookers because I know that they have comments and thoughts on what they learn, as well as our tweeters. We have some tweeters, not a whole lot, but we do get some. We're going to have to kind of, come on, my tweet is kind of boost me up a little bit there. But, yes, I'm glad you shared that. Okay, so now, Ashley, let's do it. Are we ready for my first caller?
We're ready for your first caller, Dr. Price, and your first caller is one of your favorite types of callers, which is a first-time caller. Crystal from Ohio is calling in for the very first time. Now, she has a very fun and quick story to tell you about how she got connected with you, and then she needs prayer and guidance concerning education. Crystal from Ohio, welcome for the very first time to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much. This is truly an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, thank you. And, hey, I appreciate your calling me. How are you enjoying the show so far? Have you listened to us before?
I have ever since I got a hold of your book. A friend at work blessed me with I happened to peer over her shoulder, and I saw the title of the book, and I asked her what she was reading. And we began to talk, and then she blessed me with the book. And as I got into the book, I said, I have got to find out who this woman is. And I went to your website, and I have been with you ever since. I don't miss a beat. I listen to the old shows. I have been laughing and growing immensely in just a month or two. So I thank God for you. I thank you for your wisdom and that your heart is so pure and you're just sharing what God has given you. So I'm so blessed to just even talk to you and be connected with you.
Well, I'm glad, too. That means we have a long journey together. Now, they told me that you have a story, so I want to hear your quick story.
Okay, well, the story is about the young lady that I met at work. But I had been asking God to show me, I wanted to know, were there other prophets? Were there people in ministry, Christians in my workplace? And I've been asking him to show me those people. And this is when I connected with the lady, and I saw her reading the book, and I had asked her, you know, what she was reading, and she shared it with me. But I have been listening to some of the past shows and just growing immensely. Your subject today, I have been asking God about this scripture. You would not even believe. I just needed more clarity about it. And it was one, I tell you, it caused me to shake in my boots a little bit because I don't want to be the man with the one talent. And that's really the reason for my call. I need guidance, and I know God has called me to something great, and I need to get going. I need to be about the Father's business.
Well, that you do. Now, are you in ministry, or have you been in ministry in the past, or is your workplace and your ministry the same?
No. It's a secular job, but I have been in ministry with other churches. Right now I'm visiting a church, trying to get clarity about where I should be placed. And I've listened to your show about Are You in the Right Church? That truly spoke to me. So I just, that's what I really need, and I just need that guidance so I can just get moving with God, what God wants me to do. And that's pretty much it. I need that guidance today.
Well, I can agree with you on that. So let me just talk about this, because sometimes the Lord wants us to draw out some things. You know, they talk about sometimes where, you know, a truly keen person will draw out some things. I'm going to ask you, In your experience with God, your walk with God, I won't say experience, I prefer walk. In your walk with God, Crystal, what has God spoken to you most about over the years?
Over the years. I would have to, I think it's a prophetic call. When I was younger, when I was a really young child, I used to have dreams, and Jesus would come to me. I didn't grow up in a Christ-filled home, and it kind of started with that. Life has, you know, has been many ups and downs, a lot of tragedy, and I didn't understand. And I would always ask God, why? Why had I had to go through so many hardships and things? But today, I have a greater understanding of that, and I do believe it's to be used greatly for him and his kingdom.
I agree. So here's what I'm going to do. You heard the commercial about my assessment. The number one thing I'm going to encourage you to do is to take the assessment. But when the show is over, go online, drpaulaprice.com, and click, I want to take an assessment, the MAQ. Now, you want to take the MAQ, even though you might see the prophetic one. You want to take the MAQ first to make sure, A, that you're called to the prophetic, but also to get some beginning information on the type of prophetic call you may have. So you want to do that. When you finish and you click submit, that comes to my office, Crystal. It goes through my assessment center, comes to my office, and then it comes to my staff who, after it's auto-graded, I know that's amazing, but after it's auto-graded, you get an opportunity to set up an appointment where you get a 30-minute advisement, complimentary, to review your assessment to talk with a highly trained advisor prophet. They're going to review your assessment, talk to you about who you are, and what you're going to appreciate from the tone in your voice. You're going to appreciate the prophetic insight that you can get. You will also find out if your spirit connects with that. So that's the number one thing I want you to do. Now, the second thing I need you to do is make up your mind about the church. If you have a prophetic call, and it sounds as if you do, you already know what God told you to do about this church. The Lord says to tell you he needs you to get established into some sort of quality intercessors group very soon. So he needs your prayer life, and he needs you interceding. Now, I have found that when God tells us to do things like get involved in intercession, it is because he answers our prayers best by through us praying for others. And so God obviously has some things that he wants to do in your life, but he needs you to sow to the Spirit and not just your tithes and offerings. I'm assuming that you're doing that. And if you're not, you need to, because you cannot be a prophetic person and not want to finance the Lord's kingdom. You know, and you can't be called to ministry and not want to see this to the success and the sustenance of someone else's ministry. So, but God also wants you to sow prayers. Now, the other thing I see in the spirit, which leads me to believe you're quite prophetic, is that you are also poetic. God wants you to write. Now, I see psalmists all around you, which means somewhere between songs and poetry, your aesthetic side connects with God best. So I see God telling you that he's going to deal with you on that matter over the next 3 years. But the number one thing you want to do is get settled in who you're called to be. When you are called from a non-Christian family to be a prophet, you tend to come by way of, you know, horror movies, occult, and witchcraft, and all of that kind of divination and all that kind of stuff. You tend to either come by way of that or come by way of hard knocks, in which God constantly speaks to you. The way of a prophet is always the hard knocks. I'm telling you right now, that's just how it is, because it is probably one of the most unfriendly, even though it's a highly aspired office. And it's unfriendly because people want you to give them the good news. They just don't want you to give them the God news. And there's a difference between good news and God news. And so when you start giving God news, folks get upset. And then they get angry, and then you don't know what you're talking about, and then who do you think you are, and you're criticizing me and judging me and all of that. Then after that, you get the retaliations and the alienations and all of those things that happen until you become established and vetted as a quality prophet. So the hard knocks give you the tough skin for that, so that you can deflect that nonsense and know that you know that it's God. Once you establish that you are a prophet or what you're called to do, you need training. It's not going to fall on you just because you say, yes, Lord. You're going to need to be trained. And I hear God saying, I need you to get training for what you are called to do. So, number one, we're going to do the assessment. Number two, as soon as you can, make a decision about your church. You want to get into some sort of prayer group, unless there's an intercessors group in your community or among your friends, because a lot of people have them. Then you want to do that once, and then after we've established that, you sow in something in the spirit realm, sowing into others' lives. God said you just got to serve. That's just where he is with you. You just need to serve. And so once you do that, then you want to get training. So I think I gave you some pretty good steps for you to get started with.
Yes, amen. I receive it. And I do write poetry, and I have written poetry for my church and shared it, and also with a women's group. And people have spoke to me about the poetry. And so that is really, really on point. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So now you're going to make up your mind about this church so you can start wandering, right?
Yes, yes. It is a prophetic church. It's different, and I do believe that's where God wants me to be. They do have a school where they teach you School of Supernatural Ministry, but they teach you how to study God's Word, how to pray, and it's a 9-month course that you take, and I do love the church. It is, but I wanted to be sure because I've been through some things with different churches, and I've learned a lot. Also, you know, my husband is a concern for me too because I want him to, I want us to be on one accord and walk together in the decision.
Mm-hmm. So is he open to it or what?
He is. He is. When it comes to him and I, he's in a different place spiritually, and he always says that. But I've gotten a lot of wisdom just from listening to your past shows about how that works out sometimes, that mm-hmm. that the spouse is not necessarily supposed to go everywhere with you and God.
Well, no, and your husband is more pastoral. You know, he's not prophetic. He's a man who loves God, but he's very pastoral. That means, and I don't mean just church pastoral. I mean he's that caretaker. He's going to be the backer. He's going to cover stuff, you know. He's that. He's not interested in all of this stuff. Spiritual stuff. He needs a hands-on bite in, sink my teeth in.
That is him. That is
yes.
him.
Mm-hmm. So you're not going to walk together in this at all, but you can walk complementary to each other and cooperatively. And sometimes cooperatively is as good as it's going to get.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, you know, as long as he's not preventing you, you've got yourself something. Now, and because of that, he might join you in this church, but understand, it's not going to do a lot for him.
Yeah.
Because your husband is a pragmatist. He's a very pragmatic guy, you know, and so he doesn't want, I don't want to wait 5 weeks to find out what you're saying. If you wrote it on paper, then I want to understand it. Let's be done with that. You know, process, we want to float with it a little bit. We want to kind of toss it in the air. We want to bounce it off a couple of folks. You know, we're all right with that because we are built to take our time to let the unseen become seen and the unknowable to become clear. We're built for that.
Yeah, amen.
That's very different. So be patient with your husband. Love on him really good about this, but don't expect that. Just because this is where you find a home and you feel great that he will, you're going to have to make some challenging decisions, not this year, but over the years to come. That's going to happen because he's got to be fed. So unless you two get in this church, we want to get him into a solid, grounded, very practical Bible study and men's group. You get him in those two things, he'll be fine.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? So the other thing I want to talk to you about is that as much as the supernatural is taught there, you're going to have a blast. Don't get me wrong. You will have a blast. But you understand that nothing touching the spirit world is inconsequential.
Okay. Amen.
Just, I'm not even going to elaborate on that thought, Crystal. I'm just going to leave that hanging out there for God to bring back to you later on down the road. Nothing getting into that is inconsequential.
Okay, and I did have a question about that. If that was an area he wanted me to go into, if I had been called to like a deliverance type ministry, but I'll take the assessment, and I believe it will come out through that.
Yeah, it'll tell you. Then you'll know where you are because right now, and you're as quiet as it's kept. You're about as practical as your husband. You're just a little more spiritual about it. But you have your own rules of pragmatism, you know, and you need boundaries and parameters. That's why you can get along with this guy. So you are going to appreciate the assessment. And then after you take it, after you have your advisement, call back into the show and let's talk about why I made that statement.
And I did take the prophetic assessment, and I kind of, after I took it, I thought about it. I said, I probably should have taken the ministry one first. I kind of jumped the gun on that.
Well, now you can go back step it, and jump right in it, and then the other one will make a lot more sense to you.
Okay.
All right? So do that. I'm looking forward to our next contact. Let me pray before we close this out. You know, I'd like to cover you all with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise, Holy Father. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. God, I thank you for Crystal and her husband. I thank you for their family life, and their walk with you. I'm asking, Lord, that you continue to keep them hand in hand, even though they have different tracks. God, I thank you that one may wear sneakers and the other may wear pumps. We both walk and get to the same place in you. So I thank you for that. I thank you for continuing to fortify them, strengthen their love and their affection for each other. God, cause that conflict that the enemy likes to show between the prophetic and the pastoral or the other offices, cause that thing to dissipate in the spirit so that they will cooperate with each other and complement what you've called them to do, both together as one and individually as your children. And I bless you for doing that, God. Now, when she gets into this training with this church, God, I'm thanking you for covering her with the blood of the Lamb, keeping her in your will, in your purpose, and, God, letting her know where you are every step of the way and keeping her focused in your clarity so that she will always pursue what you're calling her to do and see it from what you've ordained her to become. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Paula Price.
You're very, very welcome.
God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Well, amen. And, you know, again, Crystal's first time calling into the show. I love how she said, Dr. Price, oh, I listened to all the old shows and was able to pull forward your wisdom for her own life. I remember what you said about spouses not having to be cookie-cutter churchgoers and ministry-goers and everything like that in their calling. So that is so refreshing. I know for you, for all of us here at PPM Global Resources, to know that your wisdom is going out 24/7, which is why we love the media. You can say something one time and capture it, and then it can just play over and over and over again.
I agree, and I'll tell you the truth, it really did touch me. And sometimes, you know, I forget that we've done so many shows, Ashley. I forget that we have that entire library of information and wisdom and calls and all of that there that's posted on our Blog Talk site. And as you said, people can just continue to go through it. I like that you name everyone so that they have an idea of where to go. If they have an issue, they can go right into our archives and say, oh, that's what I'm concerned about, or that's what I want to know, and get that information. That's powerful. Okay, so are we ready for our next caller?
Absolutely. Your next caller is Betsy from Michigan. She's calling back today because she has a praise report. Dr. Price, you prayed about her house selling, and so she's going to tell you what happened in that area, and also she needs prayer for healing. Betsy, welcome back to the Paula Price Show, calling all the way from Michigan.
Thank you.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi. I just want to testify.
Okay.
You prayed for me. I don't know. Do you remember praying for me 3 weeks ago?
I didn't until I heard your voice.
Okay. We closed down our house a week ago Wednesday, this past Wednesday. And the house was empty for like 15 months. So I'm just so grateful that it sold. And you said that we would be released from memory, and yes, I went through a lot of bad experiences there in the house with the neighborhood going bad, and so there was, you know, good and bad memories, but I'm just thankful that the house is sold and that chapter in my life is over, and I just want to thank you for praying for me.
Well, I thank you for calling back to let me know, because, you know, Betsy, you know, when you do something like this and you do it week after week, and you know how many people I pray for even in a month, it's good to when you all come back and say, you know, Dr. Price, it worked. because that's encouraging, that's affirming, but that's also fortifying to me. It does fortify me. When I, just as a little bit of a thought, when I open my Facebook in the morning and I see those comments and that encouragement and that, you know, and all of that feedback, it doesn't just make me feel good. It's not just a warm and fuzzy thing, but it's a literal fortification of what God has given me to do, and it also refreshes and replenishes me. So I thank you for doing that. Congratulations on your house selling. Now, they tell me that I heard you need some prayer for some healing. What's that all about?
I've been battling with Lyme disease, the blood disease, and I had chronic back pain for the past 8-9 years, and I went to like 17 different doctors. Finally, last December, I found a doctor that ordered an MRI on my shoulder, which discovered that was causing my back pain. I had 3 tears, a detached bicep tendon, a large bone spur, and arthritis. But because the shoulder blade was out of place for so many years, the muscles have been compensating for that. I just need healing in that scapula area and the muscles along the paraspinal, because they want to just kind of stay in that position. I mean, I did have surgery December 13th, and I'm recovering from that, but I'm still, I have not been able to get free from that pain.
No, you're still under therapy, though, aren't you?
No, oh, no, no, that's over, yeah.
Is it over because your insurance ran out, or is it over because you simply stopped it?
It's over because of both, because I had went through, 3 months of therapy.
Okay. Here's the thing that I want to say to you. I'm going to pray for you, but I do think that you probably might want to get yourself under some at least routine chiropractic care or some routine massages or something. That's one thing I want to tell you. Another thing is I'd love to see you go to some sort of naturopath to get some treatments. When you go through something like that, a lot of that stuff is depletes your vitamins, it depletes your nutrients, and so especially if you're suffering in pain, you're taking a lot of medication, I would love to see you in your area go somewhere where somebody can do a whole kind of panel screening on you, and you start getting on a whole, at least a replenishment program of your nutrients, because you have no idea about the fact that you may not have enough just plain basic minerals, vitamins, or whatever, you may have enough of that to even recover. So I would love to see you do that.
Yeah, I can confirm I've been with the naturopath. He is actually a chiropractor, and he's the one that ordered the MRI. And just 6 months ago, I was down to 105 pounds because I was so depleted, and he has built me back up. So I've had the vitamin C, IVs, about 20 of them in the minerals and all that. So yes, I am going in that direction, and
Okay, then I'm glad. But then, what I'm going to do is pray. But let me tell you something. You didn't get in that way overnight, and it's going to take a little bit of a journey. So yeah, you're going to have a little bit of patience as your body believes that you're trying to heal it instead of take it out. Okay, so you're going to have to take a little bit of time. Let me pray for you. I'm so happy that your house sold. I'm excited that you're getting under good care. Come on, girl. You're doing everything right. We just have to ride out the storm.
Yes, amen.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise. Oh, my Lord, we just give you praise, praise, praise. Lord, I thank you for Betsy's house selling. We thank you for that she called back with the praise report. I thank you, Father God, that she has good care now, good chiropractic care, good holistic care. I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would reach forth your hand and touch her body, Lord, to speed up the process. I thank you, Lord, for causing her to feel her bones come back in place. I speak to that shoulder blade. I speak to that tilt and curvature, and I tell you, get back to your place. I cause you to draw on your own intelligence to fall back in perfect alignment in the name of in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to you. I command pain to cease and desist on every side. And God, I thank you for rapid replenishment of her being and her systems. And I ask that you would heal her immune system in the process as you do all of this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling again. And you know, I want you to stay in touch, Betsy.
Yes, amen, I will.
God bless.
You too, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet Ashley.
Yes, I tell you, you have to love it when the prayers work.
I know. Isn't it wonderful? And it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I love to pray. You know, I'm going to do this until Jesus tells me to stop because I love doing it. You know, Ash, personally, how I feel about the body of Christ, the people of God, how much I want them to win and to succeed, to flourish and prosper. You know, I take to heart John's words when it says that, beloved, I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and that your soul prospers. And, you know, even as you are prosper and be in health, I want their souls to prosper because if we can get soul prosperity, we can definitely get physical strength and physical vibration or what you would call energy. That's what I want to call it. I'll call it that because God wants to revive their souls. And I'll tell everyone that's listening to me today that if your soul is depleted, your soul has taken too many hits, you've been battered and bruised, you've been facing off with one thing after another, whether you caused it or not, it doesn't matter. Your body still is in the same place. You need to know that we want to pray for you to get healing and that you would get strength and rest in your soul because when your soul prospers, then your body's in health. And that's the truth. I've lived a very rocky road over these last couple of decades, and your soul can only take so many blows before it can no longer give life to your flesh. So you want to make sure that you do what it takes to keep your soul in good stead. That means forgive who you need to forgive, forget the past, stop running back to regrets. Stop getting into nostalgia. Some relationships need to stop because some of these people just keep dragging you back to your past, bringing you back to the same old circle. Sometimes you might need to relocate. There are a whole lot of ways to do it. But I just want to give you, as this is a little word from the Lord before I take my next caller, that sometimes the Lord needs you to be open to radical things for him to restore your soul. You know, he said, you know, the word of the Lord restores your soul. You need to get back in your word, not and studying your Bible, but also building up your prayer life so that you can open up the communications between you and God and hear what he's doing, you know? So, you know, God wants to restore souls. I keep hearing this is the soul damage that's taking us out right now. It's soul damage. Just remember I said that. It's soul damage, involving stuff that just didn't work for you, believing folk that just weren't true, trying things that just didn't work out, stumbling in the dark, groping through stuff. Your little body is just, your soul is worn out, so your body can't even stand up on its own. The whole disappointment, living with disappointments, living with disparagement, living with failures and all of those kind of things, and this ghosting, this psychological ghosting that keeps pummeling your mind and pummeling your heart. We've got to deliver the body of Christ from that. We've got to deliver the people of God from that because that's why your body is breaking down. It won't respond to the life codes that your new creation spirit has given you because your soul just needs to be revamped. You need God to just heal that soul. That is a word from the Lord that's hot off the Holy Ghost presses. So I'm excited about those of you who are able to heal it, to hear. God wants to heal your soul. And maybe in future conversations, we might talk about that just a little bit more. Who's the next caller, Ashley?
Well, I'll receive it. Amen. Okay. And next on the healing line is Casey from Texas, and she's calling for general prayer. Casey, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here.
Hi, Casey. Now, is this your first call?
Actually, I called a long time ago. Maybe, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've called in.
Yeah, because I keep hearing school. Are you in school? Did you finish school, training or something? Because I keep around you right now, there's a season for schooling. What's up with that?
Actually, I've been praying about some things that I'm doing in ministry, and just in terms of doing purpose school, if you want to call it that, but that's the only thing I know. I'm not personally in school.
But should you be?
I guess that's what you're telling me.
Well, I mean, haven't you got, you and God talked about it? There are some career struggles and wrestles that you're going about with, and a lot of it has just to, only has to do with your education. And so that's why I'm asking you the question.
Okay. Well, I do seek the Lord about that, about school, yes.
Because I hear, you know, sometimes you want to fit in, and you're like, why can't I fit in, and why can't I hear the way they hear, and why can't I wrap my head around this or that, and how is it that this is passing me by, and this is getting past me, or whatever. And a lot of times it's just because we don't have the same educational framework or backdrop that the people that we're working with have. And I'm just going to leave that with that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, now you tell me what you are calling for. Now I told you what you called for. Now you tell me what you're calling for.
Okay, I was just calling for prayer. Again, I'm in ministry. And so that direction on where to go in ministry. I did launch, my husband and I pastor, and I was led of the Lord to go ahead and launch a portion of a women's ministry that he had placed in me years ago. So just really direction. And even what you taught today ministered to me on so many levels. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Because sometimes I know that I don't fit in, and I want to get back to the substance, like the substance that you teach. It's that's what I'm longing for, and sometimes I feel like those around me, I know we're all in different places, but I just want to make sure I'm in right on the right track with God.
Okay, now, when you said you and your husband's pastor, so did you start the church together? Is he the pastor, or are you?
He is called to be the pastor. I started the church. We started it together. He is called to be the pastor, but we co-pastor.
Okay. Well, but he's the dominant pastor, is that right?
No. And in actuality, I'm the dominant pastor in reality.
So you drafted him when you started the church. You drafted him into the pastorate.
Well, he knows he has a pastoral call. This is what happens to us in terms of seeking the Lord for direction and everything. I started the ministry just obeying God. In my mind, we were going to pastor together. What we deal with a lot, me, because he is definitely called a pastor, a lot of times I get people come in and they automatically assume or call me like first lady, but I am the pastor. I'm the one that leads the ministry.
Okay, now, see, here's why I'm asking this, because you're asking God for something I'm not sure you want to pay the price for.
Okay.
That's why I ask you those questions, because you have to decide if you're going to masquerade as First Lady or you're going to manifest as the founder of that work and what God wants. That's number one. Number two, you know, I understand that under the other paradigm, you know, we have that if one's a pastor, they're both a pastor. There's no biblical precedence for that, no biblical model whatsoever. We have one that worked in the Bible. The rest, everybody else had different things. And I'm not, that's why I'm asking you, if your husband is a dominant pastor, if he is taking the lead, how old is your church?
We are 7 years old.
Okay.
And no, he is taking the lead.
No, okay, because it's not for him to do. Now, here's the issue. Your husband has a different vision and a different passion. I'm going to tell you right now, we want to make him a pastor because we are women. I am a woman. You and I, you called the right call of the day because I'm a woman and I live there. And we draft our husbands because of chauvinist theology. We have male-dominated theology. We want to be validated. People walk in the door, and this is what they say. I know he's the pastor. I know he's the man, but the anointing is on her. And they know that. But they also are not ready for you to step up and be who you are. But the issue is, if God called you to do this, you shoving it off on your husband for the sake of public appearance is only killing your ministry.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, he has a call, and as long as he's trying to support his wife, because he sounds like he's a good man, as long as he's trying to support his wife, he's not listening to what God wants him to do. Now, I see your husband in something to do with economics. I see him not as a pastor. I see him in some sort of, and I want to keep saying business or something, something with his hands, something to do with mechanics or something like that. I see him being a financier. I see him back in your ministry.
Man.
What does he do for a living?
He does rental cars.
So that's why I see the mechanic piece, because he does rental cars.
Yes.
Okay. Your husband is a businessman, and I would love, I'm going to pray that God begins to speak to him about some of the ideas that he has. He is a good man. He loves you. He wants to cover you. But if your husband is going to be a covering of your ministry, that doesn't mean he has to be a pastor. He can cover it in so many ways, in prayer, in eldership, in finances. But I'm telling you right now, you're in that proverbial place. I did it. I'm telling you I did it. And I went to the Lord one day, and I said, you know, God, these people hate me as being a pastor because they think it should be my husband. And Lord knows I'm in Tulsa, so you know what that means, okay? We don't even want to talk about Tulsa. All right. But anyway, and so I remember being there, and I said to God, I said, I'm trying to give it to my husband. And I told him, I'm trying to give it to him. And God said, I didn't give it to him. I gave it to you.
Hmm.
Well, I'm devastated now because I've got to fight three wars because of the will of God. But it's every now and then, God does call teams. I don't think he doesn't. I think he does call teams. But I don't think that every time he calls a woman with a husband that he's calling a team. And that's the part we've got to figure out. Now, your ministry will do well. I will tell you right now, it's going to do well because you are in the will of God. But it's not going to do great, because you have to hide two-thirds of who you are. You have to pretend you're not as anointed. You have to pretend you're not as knowledgeable. You have to pretend that you're not as bold. You have to pretend that you're in submission. You have to pretend. Am I close?
Yes.
So if you're pretending that all that God gave you doesn't exist, but that is really in your husband, what you are sacrificing for is never going to jump off. So you are tired and you're frustrated, and you want God to give you all of this power, but to know to whom much is given, much is required, and it may cost you everything. In your case, I don't think it's going to cost you your husband. I really don't. I think this is a man that might be relieved that he can listen to God for himself. Could well be. But I'm telling you, if God told you to do it, you are abdicating your authority, and you're submitting all of the resources that God gave you to make this thing successful. You are submitting them or burying them in the ground because of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard place. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's easy. I did it, okay? I am certainly the woman to do it. I can talk to you about all of the brotherhood and some of the hateful things they said. I can talk to you about the sisterhood that don't even want you to be in ministry and yet don't want you to leave. I can talk to you about, theology and all of those. I've done it. I'm 32 years in this thing. Like, they couldn't hurt me today if they tried. When you have lived something long enough, you know, when you've died 1,000 deaths, you don't have another death to die. So you're just going on and live. So I'm here. I want you to know that your ministry will go on. It'll just go loop-de-loop. It'll just lope along. But what you want, you and God are going to have to sit down. You're going to have to revisit that calling, and you're going to have to let him know that you realize what you did with his gifts and with his anointing. Now, if you decide not to do that, God says to tell you, I'm okay either way you go, but don't ask me to bless with something that you don't want to use. Because if you don't want to manifest what he blesses you, what you're asking him to bless, why are you talking to him? So this is a challenge for you. You are called. You have a great call on your life. I'm telling you, you have a great call on your life. You have your eyes see things that are unbelievable. You have that piercing thing that you do that gets right into the darkness, but you spend most of your time sucking back your word, sucking back your revelation. You spend a lot of time, and then you don't even know what to do with the other marriages in the church because you can't even figure out what's going on. You are a great lady, and I'm telling you, you are in the unenviable position of being caught in the grip of two husbands, the one you're married to on earth and the one you're married to in heaven. And that is an unenviable position. Been there, done that, doing that. And you know what? You have to decide. And God says either way you go, there is no, you know, no great hand of judgment that's going to come down on you. But you are going to know that it's a significant trade-off. Either one you trade off, that's what it is to be caught in the grip of the sovereignty of God, which is why people don't like his sovereignty. Am I making sense to you?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And so you're living a challenge, and I'm standing with you as a sister in this thing. I wish with all of my heart, if I had a prayer today, I wish there was a place for women who are called to do this and still love their homes and love their husbands and want to do to obey God and still serve our husbands. And it's a conflict. Not because we're doing anything wrong, but because theologically, error has been endorsed.
Yes.
And so God, you know, like we, you know, you hear the God first and family second. That is not scripture. That's somebody's experience. That is not scripture. There's not a piece of scripture in there to say that God's like, I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other God before me. And you know what else it says? If God's first, then God's second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, he prioritizes. When you make him first, he prioritizes. So you have a hard decision to make, my beloved. So I'm not going to pray another anointing on you. I don't need to pray any more hardship and conflict for you. You've got your hands full. I'm going to pray that you have come to a place of peace and reconciliation. That's what I'm going to pray, because no one could make this decision for you, not me, not your husband, no one, because a decision like this comes with consequences. You're going to have to deal with the backlash of decisions or of a call that goes against the grain. It's hard, baby. It's hard. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
It's hard.
I said, and I receive everything you're saying, yes.
It's tough, and you're a great lady. This is not a rebuke. Don't hang up and think, oh, she rebuked. I didn't. No, this is a woman saying, sweetheart, I've been there, done that. I know the things that I can't say over this phone. I know the turmoil and the difficulty you face. I promise you, I know it. But each one of us have got to make the decision to decide how much of this war we're going to fight and how much of it we're just going to ignore.
Yes.
And that's a personal decision. So I'll pray for you. Is there something else you want me to address while you're on the line? You know, I'm falling in love with you, so you know. You got a woman in your corner, girl.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I just pray. I thank God for everything you just said, because one of my heart's passion with me even launching the women's ministry, it really is for leaders, women pastors, who find it difficult to function as a woman pastor or who face the obstacles. So just thank you.
Well, I tell you, and I want you to understand that as you launch this, there's a difference between launching something for women pastors and launching something for women in authority. Those are two different women. You know, because a woman pastor could be, my husband and I co-pastor. That's very different than a woman who said, it's on me, and nobody likes it.
That's
good. So you're going to have, you know, now, does that mean you can have two events a year or dual events? But understand that a woman whom God has put authority on, the Deborahs, the Huldahs, the Miriams in the world, those women, the Annas, those are different needs. And that's what I'm praying for, the women with those needs. Those are ones that I want to pray for and I want to address, because those are the ones who have to stand against the grain, because we're caught in the grip of the sovereignty of God, okay, and the theology of the earth. And that's a tough, talk about rocking a hard place. That's a hard place.
Yes.
And so I'm praying for God to bless you to be able to make the decision. But I want you to get, when you hang up off this call, I want you to feel not judged, not criticized. I want you to feel that you're faced with the last of your decisions, because God's not going to harass you. He loves you too much to harass you over this. But you're going to be faced with this decision, because if you want him to answer the prayer that provoked you to call me today, then it's going to cost you. If you don't want to pay the cost, then you can no longer pray that prayer. Okay? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for Casey, and I thank you for women like her around the world, women that you yourself have decided to use and to engage in your service, because you're the sovereign Amen, because you are our maker. You are we are your handiwork. We are the work of your hands. So I thank you for women like that around the world. I'm asking God for you to raise up some way, some means to offload the burden. Raise up some speaker of truth and speaker of righteousness, God, who will take the stigma off of our obedience just because we're female. Lord, I thank you that you would cause us to feel comfortable, and also to raise up someone to comfort these spouses so that they feel good about who they are, instead of us constantly acting like we have the answers. I'm asking that you will touch her husband. He's a lovely man. God, touch him, bless him, cause him to find his footing in you, anchor him in your call on his life. Cause them to do it. Even if it's different, let them see that it's complimentary. I'm asking that you bless this church. Bless these members. Bless them with your grace. Lord, this is still a young house. Nurture them and groom them for your glory. And then, God, I'm asking that you would give her rest in her heart. No matter which way she goes, let her know that she's well-beloved, well-beloved, and that you are with her. And God, let her know that whatever the outcome is, it has nothing to do with your judgment, just the outcome of a sequence of events that follow a decision. Lord, let her know that's just a course of life. Every decision has a course. Let her know that, God, and let her know that she's loved, she's called, she's groomed for what it is you need her to do. And I thank you that you give her the classes and the training you need her to take for what you've given her to undertake. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hey, listen, you can go on my website and keep me posted, or you can message me on Facebook. I would love to see how God is working with you on this.
Yes, ma'am, I will do. Thank you so much for your wisdom, and thank you for walking in your purpose.
God bless you.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet Ashley.
Yes, ma'am.
Whoa, you got me working today, girl. What's up with that? Why are you doing that?
The saints have you working today, Dr. Price.
And I love it. I absolutely love and adore it. So much so, I'm looking at the time, and I think I can squeeze one more caller in.
All right, and you know what? I think I can help you do that. I saw him fall off the line, but I see he's back on right now. Dr. Price, this is someone you haven't heard from in quite a while. This is Art, and he is calling in because his mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and he's really in need of some instruction. Art, it's so good to hear you again. Welcome back to the world of Dr. Paula Price.
Oh, thank you so much, Ashley. Yes, it's such a joy to actually hear her program and listen to her once again after a time of not being able to.
Well, hi, Art. I'm glad you're calling back. It's good to hear your voice. Now, what am I going to pray for? She's diagnosed. Is your mom going through treatment or something?
Not yet. They just discovered it this week. Did a biopsy and said, okay, she's got breast cancer. The next step is they want to do a set of MRI to see if a lot of other places of calcification may be what they call seeds of, you know, more cancer, whatever, to know before they operate, and that's what they're planning next in, was to operate. But in my seeking the Lord, that's one of the things that I just feel, you know, is that, okay, what I'm asking in that sense is, Lord, do you have an instruction for me, some instruction that in the doing of it will be the anointing that will bring her healing? And although I would, like I say, love prayer and counsel concerning personal ministry and all that, this is my pressing need.
Okay. But apparently you're very close with your mom. It means, and to you, what I hear is that you're dreading even the suffering that has to happen and all of that kind of thing. And I understand that. I mean, that's what I hear you saying. And so how do I bear up under this, Lord? How do I fortify so that I can be there for her and walk her through this without even collapsing myself over the sorrow that's in my soul? And so
lives with my wife and I, yes.
Uh-huh. But it's difficult. I know it's difficult. I'm not going to kid you about that. There is nothing, superficial about what you feel. I know you love your mom. It's going to be a journey. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a journey. You are going to have to strengthen yourself for it. You're going to have to strengthen your family for it. But God says that you are going to have to give this to him and let him take charge of this. Something is hard for you to do. You're going to have to let him take charge of this. Here's what I see. I see, I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at, like, now, this is an imagery. We'll take it from there. But I see you and your wife and your mom sitting in one of those 18th century carriages, and it's not the stagecoach kind. It's a kind of very ornate, and you're trying to steer it with one hand. And this thing is hooked to nothing because you're steering it by your faith. You literally are steering this by your faith, but now it's starting to twist and turn, and it's getting out of control, and that's new for you. Because you finally realize that you've steered your family, and you steered them by faith, but now you've got to let go and let God. And that's scary because you're not sure what God's going to say. You're not sure what God is going to do. Is God going to prolong your mom's life? Is he not? Is he going to do it? Is he going to make her go step by step, or can she get a quick healing? But the Holy Spirit says, if you're talking about instructions, he's like, this one, you are going to have to let go. He's got to take charge of this. It's difficult, but that's his word. You're going to have to do it. That means every day you're going to have to say, Lord, guide our steps. Lord, he said, even this is what he says. He said, every day you're going to start your day saying, Lord, guide my prayer over this situation. Guide my prayer. Guide my steps. Guard us, God, every single day as you walk through, holding her hand through everything, every treatment, all of it. You're going to have to every day ask God to take control because it's not easy for you to do. Now, here's why he's telling you to do it, because you have your own physiological challenge, your own physical challenges right now, and God said he doesn't want you to exacerbate them while you're trying to handle this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That is why he wants you to back up and let him carry both you and your family. That is the word of the Lord to you today, that you would let God lead and guide this situation. And I hear him say, I'm looking at this wagon, this vessel, this vehicle, and you've been pushing it. And truth be told, you are tired. You're more emotionally tired than this call will allow you to express. And the Lord has need of your later years. He's not trying to drain you out and lose you. And that's what he told me to tell you.
Thank you.
So, can I pray now?
Yes.
Okay. God, I thank you for Art. I thank you for his life. And, Lord, I thank you for him being a man of strong faith as you showed me him steering and guiding his family and guiding their lives, Lord, very effectively and efficiently up until now. But I thank you, Lord, that he is going to have to find out, like the rest of us, there's a time to lay back and lean back on the everlasting arms of our Savior. I thank you, Lord, that he can trust you like that. I thank you, Father God, that he can believe you and obey you and, Lord, begin to see the next dimension of his relationship with you and the interaction that you have with those who trust you day by day. I thank you, God, for his strength. I pray for his mom's healing. I pray for that healing to be the way you want it to be. I speak healing to her body. I ask that you would cover her in your love and your blood. I ask that you would minimize whatever discomfort has to happen, that you would minimize it, eliminate the sorrow that ordinarily goes along with this, because that's what the world wants and that's what the enemy wants. Give her a joy, a peace, and that blessed assurance, God, that you're with her and that you've got it all in control.
Amen.
And that as you do so, comfort this family and strengthen them for the journey ahead in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Dr. Price.
Thank you,
thank
too.
You.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Ashley, we're down to the last 5 minutes. Can you believe?
Checking off another week.
Checking off another week. Let me wrap it up by encouraging those of you who have listened to us today, go back and listen and share it. Share the call with your friends. You know, just go in and just hit the share button and share it with everybody you know. Give your friends the link so that they can listen to the call throughout the week and then tune in with us next week. The counsel never stops. The answers never stop. As you've heard different callers say, you can go back and refresh yourself. And if you are a new listener, you can catch up. If you want to share it with others, how about this? If you're a teacher, a trainer, you're a Bible study, these are great tools. There is so much for you to get out of these calls, out of visiting us at blogtalk.com/Paula Price Show. There's a lot for you to get out of it. But and don't just think, okay, well, this is nice edification. There's counsel for you, counsel for your family, your house, counsel for your marriage. There is wisdom and insight in your relationship with God and understanding your purpose and destiny. You have answers for career and job and training. And we don't even want to forget the Bible wisdom that the Lord shares with you every week. There's much for you to enjoy. I've had people say, Ashley, they've gotten online and just let it cycle through. Do that. But above all, don't let what I said to you today end today. Some of you need to go back and listen. Share it with your friends. Share it with your leaders. Share it with your teachers and your trainers. Use this show as a resource for your own ministry and your own lives. Hallelujah. How about that, Ashley? I think we're about done. So I'm going to let you wrap it up because we are through for today.
All right, and what a show it has been. Thank you for listening, and we will hear you again next week.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Welcome to PPM Global Resources, your one-stop ministry resource company. Whether ministry, professional, or personal, our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Explore the possibilities to conquer your world. Where are you going today? Ready to launch your own ministry? Want to develop a ministry training program? Looking for credible ministry education? You want guidance or direction? Maybe you just want to discover who you are. If you are a purpose seeker, looking for fresh resources, new ministry solutions, and endless possibilities, then welcome
to PPM Global Resources, a ministry and professional resources company dedicated to meeting the needs of the 21st century minister. Why choose PPM Global? Because you want something better. We help build your vision, educate you in your calling, train you to succeed, teach you valuable skills, equip you to achieve, release you to conquer your world. Our business is your interests, whether ministry, professional, or personal. Our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. Think of us as your personal vision support team. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is our passion. Check us out online or contact us at 877-649-PPMG.